You're listening to the coolest station in Montreal, 90.3 FM on your dial. The alternative station, the one that gives you a choice and a voice. CKUT, stay tuned.
Hey, beautiful black people. Welcome to Melanin Love. I hope you're all enjoying Black History Month. My name is Jennifer, and I will be the host of this podcast.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, and yourself, birthday girl?
I'm fine, thank you. So would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, yes. My name is Candice Fuego. I have a podcast called The Pearls of Candice Fuego. In general, I have a different type of guests that I invite. Talk about their level of knowledge, their backgrounds, also sharing some opinions that could relate the Black community in general. And I know yourself, you participate with your colleague, and it was pretty interesting. I had good feedbacks, and I'm really, really happy that you went to the TV in general after that.
Thank you.
I know that you're building up not just a name, but you have a purpose. And that's the purpose of Pearls of Candice Fuego also, is to push everybody that I'm seeing. There's a good interaction, the same type of energy behind it too. So focused it is, I think, our motive. And we want to educate the people the most. For
definitely
free.
so for free, but that's okay. We do it for the community. We're not doing it for money. So that's why it's more relevant, I think. So what do you think about the Black History Month? How do you perceive it?
Me personally, I don't embrace that month because it's the least month of the year. Mm-hmm. So there's only 28 days, and every 4 years we have an extra day. So it means 29 days. And on top of it, if you take a look of your bills and all that, you have 2 or 3 days less that you pay extra per year. Because of that month. And unfortunately, worldwide, it seems to be the month also that a lot of Black people try to speak up louder and let it pass. But there's also a lot of injustice during that month that is ongoing. So it's kind of hard to embrace that month because we are born Black, we will die Black. So
definitely.
Months straight Black. So
You're right. I think... we could have, anyways, whatsoever, it should be Black History Year. It's not about being a 1 month and then we forget about it. We will always be Black forever. And it's like this. We really have to live with all the injustices and everything that goes around being Black, because we live in a community, in a society where we are not really appreciated. So what do you think about the history of Black people? Do you think we should learn more about our history?
Most definitely. Why? Because I think it's the main reason why we are lost in general. And, you know, we have a lot of potential Black person worldwide doing great things. But at the same time, they're not really aware where that talent coming from, that strength, that idea, you know? Mm-hmm. Reality in different form. So means that the fact we are not connected to one side of a spirituality and we are divided to different religion, already from there, I'm feeling like we're missing a point. We're losing a lot of strength by it. And I think that's the main reason why we kind of divided. Even though we could be united, if there's something really not good going on, we all alert and ready to do whatever we have to do because that's our strength. We are naturally born like that. But after that, the case is like kind of cold. Everybody's back to their business, like waiting for the other case to happen to react again. So I'm feeling like we are really disconnected.
So do you think there's a way to unite us as a black community?
To be honest with you, yes, but that will demand to remove a bit of emotion aside. So let's say if you're a professional nurse, right? You're also a teacher. I have to respect all the degrees, the experiences that you have, because I have to learn from you. I'm not from that field. So that's what we need to learn first, is how to respect everybody's field and strength. We should not focus on the personal life of the person, of that candidate or whatever, you know. If you have a past, that's your past, that belongs to you. It should not affect my way of seeing you, because I'm focusing on your experiences, you know.
Right.
Only people that heal from their trauma or willing to heal from their trauma will understand how we can be united. Besides that, there's another category of people, I think, if there's no money involved, they might not participate. That's my opinion.
No, you're right. But I think it's a great way to see it. I think a lot of people actually react that way. And as much as, because we are both Haitians, but as much as we always say l'union fait la force, it's not something that is really something that we see on an everyday basis. So there's something, I think, first things first, I think we need to learn about our history. We need to put in the dots together to really see how everybody's the same. Every Black people is the same. It's not because we come from the Caribbean that we're so different from African people. We're all coming from the same continent in the end. And we all lived the same things. Slavery was still there for everyone. We had to live it. So it's in our blood. It's in our DNA. And I think it's really affecting the way we react today. Even if we didn't live slavery, but experienced it. But I feel like we are wired that way because of slavery. It's really a reaction, I think.
True, super true.
So how, what do you think about building our own community? Let's say we see often the Jewish community building a lot of things for their community. They're really united. They're always doing things for the community. They're trying to uplift everyone. So what do you think? Is that something we should do?
We can do it. As I said, we're going to be able to do it with those that believe in it. And after that, the other category of people will see that it is in construction. It is going well. There's a lot of participant. There's a lot of good, positive income and outcome from it. Then they all going to come with it. The only thing I could say is, let's say if I live in, let's say I live in Laval, right? Then I'm not living in Saint-Michel. I'm not living in Montreal North. I don't live in RDP. I don't live in NDG. I don't live in certain areas where there's more of ethnicity. We can see there's a lot of backgrounds there, cultural backgrounds. That doesn't mean that we have to build a school or a clinic there. We could put certain like rooms of places where people can connect there, but we can also develop another area at the same time, because I don't think so it is a problem of money. I said that in my life. We don't have a problem with money. We're just not spending our money right. And we don't think of a general wealth ongoing generation to generations. We're just thinking, okay, I have a kid, I make sure my kid is okay. But we're not training our kid to know what is wealth. So we're just transferring the wealth. But the other culture, the other race, I don't want to say race, but I would say the Jewish community, let's say the Greek community, the Lebanese community, they know what they're doing. And we are consuming their products. I've been there around the past week, and I look how they are really investing into their community. I don't know if you went in Chamedy and Vimont, Duvernay, I don't know where you're located, right? But when I've been passing there, just to take a look of the investment in this specific area, it is really well balanced. They have their schools, they have their own parks, they have a lot going on. And they're also building houses and condos that only their own people are living there. So I cannot believe us, we cannot do it. It's impossible.
See, this is why I say we are wired, because we only try to survive. We're not trying to evolve. This is a survival thing. I feel like this is just, it's in our DNA. We cannot go forward because we think, well, I left my country for a better life. That's why I came to Canada. That's why I went to the United States. That's why I went to Europe. But then what else? Oh, I need to make sure my kid has a job. I just need to make sure that if my kid has a job, a good job, then everything has been done. Everything is fine. My kid will be fine. But what about the community? What about the other kids? What about what we can build for each other as a community?
True.
Because we're living, as much as in our own country, we are less living as individuals, more as a community. When we go outside that country, I feel like we're just living family per family. And even in the same families, I feel like some people are not helping each other. Some families are just living on their own. Yes, we can have family dinners. But what about, I know you're struggling right now. Let me help you. Let me try to uplift you, to elevate you. But we don't see that. We do not see it anymore. This is just a survival mode because we know we're in a white country right now. So I feel like this is not helping.
It's a good point you just mentioned, because we as Black people, family, it is our wealth, right? Mm-hmm. But there's also toxic wealth. Mm-hmm. You know, the transfer of bad habits. And then from your kids to your nieces to your grandkids, they're thinking that what you've been transferring to them is the best thing.
Right.
So being said, if you take a look of who you are today, is it what your mom was before? Is it a transfer of responsibility that's been given? That's all that matters. And let's keep it real. There's also the mentality of transferring the task of a parent to the kid, so the kid doesn't grow well and becoming unhappy, and then just want to escape the household because I want to have my money, I want to have my place, I'm done taking care of my little brothers and little sisters. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
All that matters, because if you're not well at home, then how can you succeed in other spheres of your life?
Mm-hmm. Right? We're repeating a lot of mistakes from our parents.
Why do you think? That's why I always said to people, I'm repeating myself all the time, but you know what? People like you, people that understand the issues that we are going through, it's like you cannot think just for, as you said, for yourself, because the moment you're stepping out of your house and you head into your car driving, you're driving with other people, right? And then when you're heading to work, you're dealing with other people mentalities. So now you can face clash, eight, jealousy, envy, all that, because at home, their mother wasn't taking care of themselves them that much to know, do your nails, put makeup, dress well, do your hair. So when they see your beautiful woman getting in, stepping in the building, they're looking at you, they envy you. And you have the other type of person that looking at you because that they love your energy. So they want to look like you. And sometimes people try to match that as if that person got a lot of envy. But it's not envy. You are part of the influence of that person. You're a model. I said to everybody, either you're a public person, like being on social media or not, there's someone looking up to you. There's someone looking at you. So you got to be careful what you portray in front of these people. And sometimes we forget. Let's keep it real. Sometimes, listen, I never heard myself the song WAP in front of my little sister and brothers. Okay. Mm-hmm. They've been listening to it on TikTok, but I'm not cool with that. But I didn't put this song around them. Why do you think? So I don't want to bring that energy in the house. You see? So all that it's part of the education we're trying to transfer into these kids. So if me, I'm listening to some good music that could have a lot of curse in it, but I have to be careful what I'm listening around these kids. Because when they go to school, they're going to repeat these words. And they're going to say, I didn't raise these kids right. And then I look bad. You understand? So all that comes from home. I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
What is your point of view of these parents having kids and pretending, and they also assuming that the school raised their kid, or the school have to take care of it, or the hospital have to take care of it, or this have to take care of it. They're there for that. Me, I don't have enough. Me, I always have a big glitch in my mind, like, how the hell can you transfer that responsibility to the teachers, to the nurses, to the doctors? Why? What do you think about that?
We all have our own responsibility. This is your health. So even if I try to give you the best advice, this is on you. If you don't want to apply it, that's on you. That's not on me. That's the first thing. Education-wise, be careful because, listen, most teachers I've had in my life were white. So how am I supposed to expect them to educate my own kids properly? We don't necessarily have the same values. I cannot put my kids' education in one individual. And do not forget that a teacher has to take care of 20, 25, 30, 32 other children. How do you want a one individual to just uplift, mold a child? This is not making any sense. You got to do some work at home. Literally, you have to work on your child's education. And there's another thing that I want to add. A lot of, I've seen a lot of people in the community, parents, that are not realizing that every child is different. So you can educate child A a certain way, but child B doesn't have the same personality, is not going to react the same way. So you cannot educate all your kids the same way. So if you have 4 kids, 5 kids, you cannot educate them the same way. So I think we just have to be mindful of that, because we believe that all our kids are going to be the same because we educate them the same way, but they do not turn out the same way. You can have one family, and in that same family, you have 4 kids. Preach. For example, kid A usually has more burden on their shoulders. So they end up being a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer, whatever. Child B doesn't want to be like child A, because child B says, you know what? I don't want to have that burden on my shoulder. So usually they're more reckless. So that child could be having issues with the police, could be having drug issues, whatever it is. Child C doesn't want to be like child A and child B. So everyone is going to take their own path because they're looking up to their older sibling. But they never want to have the same pathway. So we really, really have to be mindful as a community, because I see a lot of parents thinking that, what did I do wrong? Because I gave the same education to all my kids, but you can't be giving the same education to all your kids. You can't give the same values because they're not the same person. So everyone is going to act different. So I think this is just something we have to be mindful of, because even if all the kids went to the same schools, had the same teachers, had the same, we taught them the same values, they're never going to be the same person. And I really want the community to make sure that they remember this. You are never going to have the same kid. Never.
Of course.
So you may be saying, and I hate when parents say this, why aren't you like child A? But the emotional burden you're putting on the other kid, the kid that has to hear this, this is going to affect them. So
big time.
We have to be careful. We really have to be careful. And to go,
we should
go ahead, go ahead.
Compare, right? We should not compare. That's
exactly
what you're trying to say.
We should not compare.
Let's not compare.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. We should not compare. So if we go back to that teacher, if you know that educating 2, 3, 4 kids is a hassle, imagine for the teacher.
Times 7, times 8.
How do you want the teacher to do that? That doesn't work that way. Everyone, and you have these 30 kids. All of these 30 kids have different personalities, different parents, different households, different communities. This is not going to work. It's never going to work. You cannot put that burden on a teacher. Although, let's say if I go back to what we were saying earlier, maybe if we had schools for our own community, maybe that could be better.
Of course, we need it because, as I told you, I saw this Greek school, Jewish school, Lebanese school. I've seen a lot. And by looking at it, it's not like I never knew it was there. But we're now acknowledging everything going on right now. I sit down and I stood there and I look for a good 10, 15 minutes how they were working, talking to each other, and they are investing into the businesses of their own community. But us Black people, it's not like we don't support Black businesses. It's just sometimes I think it's the volume of customer that doesn't balance with the demands that makes it more complicated on the long way. And then when it comes to customer service, when we go to other places, it's super simple. They're greeting you, you take what you need, you pay and you go, right? Mm-hmm. But we them know in the community, I don't wanna generalize because I've noticed the two last generation, they work more on customer service than anything else. Mm-hmm. So I don't wanna say that we're not able to do so, but it's just like, we need to roll that money in within us at least more than 7 times. Because if we don't do it like the Jewish, the Chinese community and all these other people, we will never have that power, that financial power. And I think it is something they notice, so they don't want us to be that much together. Because otherwise than that, I've been asking myself, if we stop supporting these other communities, are they going to survive?
I wonder.
Because they already have their own community. So us, we are just bonuses to them. Mm. If we have, let's say if we have our own baker, like when I went to Fairmont, they have their places or Vigier, I'm not sure, not far from that place. Not far from Collège Français, okay, in that area. They have their own spot to take their bagels, right? And there's multiple spots in Montreal for that. But when are we going to have one for us, Black people? You see what I'm trying to, where I'm trying to go? Because we're eating bread at least once or twice per week minimum. So always going to Maxi or Super C to go buy something because the bread is $2. Well, me, when I'm seeing the Algerian, seeing the Moroccan, they're doing their own bread. They're taking a bunches of bag of flour and they're doing their own bread. They're smart. So now I have a question for you, even though it's not supposed to be back and forth. But I like the dynamics, so I'd rather ask you a question because we can have a different opinion about it. So are we becoming more lazy-er with the time? Are we lazy because we are able to make a certain kind of income that we don't want to do it at home? We'd rather just go to the store or go to the closest place instead of saving that kind of money home to become a bit richer?
Honestly, I wonder if it's not the way we act as a community. So let's say, I'll give you an example. A lot mm-hmm. of my friends back in high school that were mm-hmm. Syrians, Lebanese, Algerians, their moms were not working. But I'm sure your mom and my mom were working and overworking themselves. So that's one thing. Second thing, yes, maybe we are lazier. It's all about prioritizing, actually, because we think bringing money back to the table has more value. And I don't know if you noticed, but and I can only speak for the Haitian community, but I'm sure it's pretty much, it could be a Black community thing, but I don't know if you noticed, but
yeah,
we like to show off.
The Black Negro syndrome.
Yes. Oh, yes, I have a Mercedes. Oh, yes, my daughter is a doctor. Yes, my son has a big house. What's the point?
Easy, happy. Easy, mentally stable. That's the thing. Exactly. Often now I'm seeing there's more awareness. There's a lot of people there seeking for help. And I'm so happy because I've been pushing that since 2017. So maybe people have been pushing it way before that. But the fact that I put my time and energy into it, it's okay to be successful. I think everybody can succeed if you have determination, a plan, and you're well surrounded. It's important, well surrounded. Why? Because if you are in a toxic environment, that energy can interfere into your study, into your finance, into your spirit. So how can you focus? It's sad to say, but sometimes your own parents could be the problem of your success.
Definitely.
And they will not admit that. Why? Because let's say another thing I've heard from someone, and I balance that with other, you know me, I love to research. Mm-hmm. And there's some people saying that we, as of kids, noticing her parents were just giving us, you have a roof under your head, over your head. You got food. I bring you to school. I make sure you can eat every day. I make sure you
address
certain things. So for them, that means they did everything for you. Mm-hmm. But that is the typical parents that didn't have much, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when you take a look of other parents, because I don't want to say all of them are like that, but there's always two types I've noticed within the community, even in the world. But I stick to my community. You have those that give the minimum. So if we take a look of the Maslow pyramid, they stick to the number one level. And then you have the other type of parents that giving the maximum to their kids. So they are bringing them to school. They do their homework with their school. They give them attention. They support them. They do everything that is best for them, right? Mm-hmm. But they're also investing into the potential they're seeing in them. If it's gymnastic, if it is an instrument, music, if it's not music, writing skill, poetic, whatever. They're investing into this child potential. And you know what that mean at the end? That kid that's going to grow up being an adult will be able to embrace the elements their own parents have invested into them when they be alone in their house. Mm-hmm. So they'll be like aware of how to disconnect when they're sad, happy, alone, enjoying that moment. But certain of our parents from type A, like the first category, they don't raise their kid to embrace who they are. Mm-hmm. Because they want you to become what they want you to become. And that is where the clash starts. That is where the dropout at school starts. Because now the child is mad because their authority of not taking in consideration their emotion, their desire. Now they're just becoming rebellion. And then now what is the problem after that? Now these same parents, they're going to say to other people, my child is really not listening to me. I give him everything. But the only thing your child asked you was your attention and to listen to his needs. But I cannot blame them, right? Why? Because when they were growing up, their own parent wasn't giving them attention enough.
Yeah. The community is not...
You see the cycle?
The community is not always respecting the psychological needs that we need as children. And this is really creating issues. And I think that this goes back again to what I was saying at the beginning. We are wired to do this. This is always survival mode. So basically, we need to go up that Maslow's hierarchy. We need to go up that pyramid because we cannot stay at the base. Like, we get it. We get it. We need to eat. We need a house. We need water. We need warmth. We need to sleep. But at some point, we need to go up that pyramid. So we need to work on that psychological needs, because yes, of course, if we do not believe that we have issues with that part of that pyramid, we're never gonna elevate.
Exactly. Fact.
How do you want to self-fulfill if you do not take care of your psychological needs? You don't even know what's important to you. You don't even know how you're feeling. You cannot even express it, because when you were younger, you were told that, oh, well, stop complaining. I'll give you a reason to cry, or any of the sort of things that just diminish your emotions. I'll be honest with you. I've been working on my self-care, and I've noticed that I wasn't able to express my emotions.
Oh.
I couldn't say it. I didn't know how to express my emotions. Like, I couldn't say I could say I was sad, but that's it. I could say I was angry, but that's it. I could not give more explanation. So I had to work on other emotions. Yes, I know what sadness is. I know what happiness is. But that's it. What about all the other emotions? There's so many emotions.
Yo, there's a lot.
So many emotions. And I was not able to express them. In my head, I felt like it was only like sadness, happiness, and being angry. That's it. And I've worked on that, because I couldn't just express myself. And a lot of people, because some people believe in astrology, but a lot of people would say that it's related to my astrologic sign, because I'm an Aquarius.
Yes, Aquarius.
We have a hard time to express our feelings, but I know the fact that the whole community.
Yeah, Aquarius.
Mm-hmm. I know. But I know that also being in a community that wires us to only answer our basic needs, this didn't prepare me to express my feelings, how to have intimate relationships, how to nurture friendship. Because let's be real. I'm sure you've heard that, but sometimes I hear parents say, never trust your friends. And I understand what they mean. True. I do understand what they mean. But at some point, you need to trust someone. Because your parents are not going to be there forever.
That's true. Strong point right there. Then we are paying for that. You know, being a good person, having a big heart, you're going to suffer a lot. You got to accept that you will suffer. And you know, sometimes what people will say, well, you accepting to suffer. Nobody told you to suffer. And when a person telling you that, it says a lot about them. So if you're not a careless person, how can you think like that? How can you behave like that? Then you know what? You've been talking about the cycle of emotions. You might turn hangry because that person switched something on your brain. that it's not natural within you. I do believe in transferring energy. I do believe people can switch your patterns. So now the clubs are closed, right? There's no bar, there's no chilling, there's no get together, whatever. So far we know there's nothing, right? So now what is the big issue? Are people investing into them to know themselves better? Are people aware now the reality of others? Have you noticed that people are becoming more judgmental and they have a lack of patience?
Yeah.
A lack of patience a lot.
And I think the fact that we're not engaging as much and a lot of people are taking more time than necessary on the little things. And I don't think that's healthy. It's really not healthy. So now that we've talked about the psychological needs, let's talk about self-fulfillment. Self-fulfillment can be different from one person to another. But if I want to talk about a self-fulfillment for a community, I have been talking to a few friends and I have been seeing a lot of statistics regarding providers, healthcare providers. So we've been noticing that, I think that was back in June, that's in the United States, but I think we can definitely transpose this to here. Maybe the statistics will be better, but I think it's pretty much the same thing. But they've noticed that pregnancies amongst the Black community were not handled the same way when they're having white healthcare providers versus Black healthcare providers. And also they've noticed that a lot of white residents, medical residents, thought that Black people had a higher pain tolerance. And I don't understand that. If you cut my arm, it's going to hurt the same way as you. I don't understand.
That is the trauma of slavery. And they're practicing what they've been taught in medical school, how the slave masters was treating us. Don't forget, we were the type of individual that they were practicing on. By seeing a lot surviving from it, without anesthesia or whatever. So they know that it is in their gene to tolerate the pain. That's been taught at school. So that's why I've been saying the same thing when it comes to police brutality. They taught that at school because you're not born to be that way, to treat people that way. So when you bring that a specific detail about pregnancies when they're in labor. I've heard a lot of things about women talking about that, Black women. And it is sad that we're not treated equally. And you know what I would say? We should start asking and insisting, I would like to have a Black doctor. I would like to have a Black nurse. Like the Muslims are doing, like the Jewish are doing. Because me, I never seen a Muslim woman at the emergency room being in the room with a man doctor. No, never. Automatically, they're going to change that. They're going to give her a woman as a nurse. And they are willing to wait to have a woman as a doctor to serve them. So we should ask and put pressure on it. We want to be served by Black nurses, Black specialists, Black doctors. Do we have enough? That's the question now.
That's the question. And I think as much as our parents are putting pressure on us to be medical professionals, lawyers, engineers, and I don't disagree. I think it's a good thing, but we need to listen to our children as well, like we mentioned earlier. But have you noticed that social media is pushing Black people that are in the art industry, that are in the sports industry? But what about the other professionals that are making also a difference? Because I feel like as Black people, if you want to succeed, you have to be a b-ball player. You have to be a football player. You have to be a singer, a rapper. But what about the other people? Because we need to set an example. If you want to make sure that we have enough of these people in the community, we need to push these other professionals as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't,
that's a strong fact.
If we don't see them, we're never gonna try to even think about them because we do not see them. Yes, we see a lot of Black nurses, but what about the Black doctors? What about all the Black specialists? There's a lot of them. What about the Black lawyers? We never talk about Black lawyers, but there's some out there, but we never talk about them.
That's why I've done my interview with a Black lawyer.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Why did I did that? Mm-hmm. I've done that because I said, I know my community doesn't know their rights.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that a lawyer might cost $5,000. Mm-hmm. But it's not a question your lawyer costs $5,000. The question is, do you know your rights? Can you defend yourself? Because we are easy to blame others. But sometimes it is our job to educate ourselves. Because it is available online. You go online, go check the law, go check your rights. Same thing you told us within your podcast. You said that you have the right to ask for something because the moment you are at the hospital or at the clinic, they are in charge of you. So you can ask to make sure that everything is right and done. You know, because it is easy to be mistaken. The same way that you can tell us what to do, where to go. But if you don't pay attention to the information, then now don't scream on social media that you had a bad treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are doing your part to educate us on the ELF system and what to do, how to behave, how to notice something is wrong, then why are we doing all this podcast for? Not to become famous, it's to educate the community because we notice that there's a lack of information. Not because it's not there, because they don't want to go search for themselves. So they're waiting for us to feed them with the information.
But this is not okay.
Is that bad?
That's bad. This is not a good thing.
Exactly. It's super
bad. At least if there's more people like you and I giving out the information and trying to give the best information as possible with quality, I think it's going to make, it could make a difference. But I really want us to start doing more research. Because if you do not take care of yourself, how do you want other people to take care of yourself? You know yourself better. I don't.
The other thing that we don't have within the Black community is self-love,
mm-hmm.
Self-knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Self-knowledge, getting to know yourself better, not by what your parent told you, by who you are in general. You know, as you said, kid A, B, C, D, they're totally different. We cannot raise them the same, but it's the same thing. You might not want a relationship that way as your sister or your older brother, right? You want your relationship to go a certain way because so far as I do understand, none of us Black people, even we can call ourselves so Christian, following the Bible and all that. It's not true. Everybody respected not having sex before marriage. That's not true. So you're already lying to God. Even though you know he saw you doing it, he's aware of your intention. He knows whatever you're doing. You're lying to him and you're lying to us. when you know that God in the Bible told you not to lie, right? You have the right to not answer, though.
Mm-hmm.
But don't say to us you never had sex and you ended up pregnant in front of us at church. So you're...
Mm-hmm. But you see, we need to be less judgmental as well.
Embrace yourself. Be yourself. You understand what I'm trying to say? Let's say you, mm-hmm. you don't want to get married. You don't believe in marriage. I cannot be against you for that. I got to respect that.
Exactly.
You understand? So if you tell me I don't want to have babies, I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, can you let me know why? You have the right to answer me or not, by the way, because that's your personal life. But I don't want to have kids. That's it. I don't want to. All right, cool. I should respect you for not wanting to have kids. So what's wrong about that? So if me, I'm taking that way, then I should raise a lot of people that way. That would change the world. But if our parents never taught us how to love, how to choose the right partner, not someone, oh yeah, you have to take someone that is educated, that have this and that, blah, blah, blah.
A good job, money.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, that person might treat you like doesn't have no respect for who you are. You understand? Because me, I noticed us Asian, I'm going to talk for Asian because I dated only Asian men in my life. I dated some good Asian men, but a lot of things I've noticed in common, for them, authority means that I'm a man, I lead, but they don't know much. You understand? They need you because they can't learn or they don't know certain things because their parent didn't taught them so. So now you're ending up raising a boy to become a man. So being said, there's certain things she taught us to do that is really important. I cannot deny that because it's part of being a woman. But there's certain things I would not tolerate it within a man. Let's say if she lied to me, having a child outside of my marriage or not living with you for 5, 7, 10 years. Being engaged for what, over 7 years? How disrespectful is that? Because they don't know. Because our parents,
of course not.
They didn't taught us certain things. I don't want to generalize, but normally when you're about to engage a woman, that means you are self-sufficient to take care of her. You're ready to take the responsibilities.
But that goes back to what you were mm-hmm. saying, self-awareness. We need to know ourselves.
Exactly.
If these boys becoming men, you will become a man as soon as you are self-aware of what you do, of what you need, of what you need to do. If you don't know that, if you don't know what you're doing, you're not ready yet.
You know what is the big, big, big problem also I've noticed? Because let's keep it real. We have a lot of issue when it comes to relationship. I've been reading certain women talking about how difficult it was for them to divorce, how difficult for them to leave the father of their kids. And when I took the time to read these women talk about their life, what they've been through, I asked myself, how come so many women falling for this?
And I've...
It cannot be music and movies only. There's something else. Self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Because notice something. You are a beautiful woman, okay? You post a nice picture of you. A lot of women, Yeah, men will say, yo, from sa copie, yeah, from sa nice, yeah, that girl looks good, you know? Then now... You have that other woman that doesn't look like you. She probably would be mad at you. Maybe. Maybe not. But because she doesn't have the same level of self-esteem as you, Every time her man will be around you, she's going to feel like you're a threat.
And this is an issue. You were talking about envy at the beginning, but this is an issue. I do not understand why we think everybody's a threat.
Me, if I see another woman looking fine, if I would have been in a relationship now and my man is looking at another woman, me, I always been like that in my relationship. If there's another beautiful woman, another sexy woman, I'm going to look at her. I'm going to say, yo, she's fine.
Yo, me too.
That's why I'm saying self-esteem is super important. If you don't have that, how can you function into your relationship?
But this has to do also with the community, because when we were raised, we were taught that women need to be a certain way. You need to be perfect, quotation marks. You cannot be perfect. We need to, like you said, we need to embrace ourselves. Each and every one of us are different. So if you want to live your life a certain way, fine. Just find the perfect person for you, because we're not the same person. We need to find our, and I can't say I don't believe, or I fully believe as well, in soulmates, but there's definitely someone out there for you. There's definitely someone who's going to respect you for who you are. So there's something that I've heard often, and it's been, you can't talk that loud, because I can speak very loud. And I've been told like, oh, you can't speak that loud. That's not how a woman speaks. Or you're laughing too loud. You can't sit that way. So yes, how we look is important, but
yep.
We have to be mindful about how we are as a person in relationships. I can look perfect. I can look, and I've been, let's see, I'll say something personal. I've been told that I look like I've got everything together, everything. I look organized. I know what I'm doing. But I told, and that was a friend of mine. She was like, I don't know how you do it. And I was like, to be honest with you, I am overwhelmed. I am stressed. I feel sometimes that I'm having anxiety attacks when I take some certain decisions. People need to understand that, yes, I project a certain image, but that doesn't mean inside of me, nothing's happening. It doesn't mean everything's perfect. I am not perfect. My life is not perfect. I am just trying to take the best decisions for me. I'm really trying to work on meditation and self-awareness and self-care because of that. Because this is not something we really learn. This is not something I've really learned when I was growing up. This is something that I taught myself. So I needed to make sure that, okay, whenever you feel that way, whenever you feel pressured, you need to stop. If you can't stop, that's fine. But you need to take 30 minutes to breathe. Take a breather. Do guided meditation. Do meditation. Do whatever you need to do. My mind is racing. I'm a type A person, so everything needs to be perfect. And this is an issue because this is giving me a lot of stress. So I had to work on that. Because when I was younger, I was only told that, oh, you're too stressed. But why am I too stressed? And the fact that I've been taught a certain way, I've been going to, like I told you last week, I've always went to private schools, and my private schools were very, very strict. So I had to be a certain way. I remember, and I told my colleagues and they thought it was crazy, but I remember first grade, I had to write, I think it was poems or something, and I couldn't use liquid paper. And then if I had to use liquid paper, trust me, you have to start it all over again because you're not using liquid paper. So this is me being very perfectionist. And this is affecting how I am today because I've been wired as I was already a type A person, but I've been wired to be an extra type A. So I got to work on that because yes, I am ambitious, but this is not always healthy. I'm trying to do too much. My brain is always racing. So if you want to take care of your psychological needs, again, you need to stop. You need to be self-aware of what you're doing. You need to be mindful. You need to take a breather. You need to stop. If you need psychological help, go ahead. If you need to talk to a therapist, go ahead. They're out there. But also, I think we need more Black therapists, but that's another subject. But so I think if every woman out there, Black woman, can do the same, this is going to elevate you. You can elevate your own self. You do not need someone to elevate you, to uplift you. You can do this on your own.
True. That, you know, you mentioned private school. You're right about that. You know why? Because the fact you went to a private school, mm-hmm. automatically you got a different way of operating, thinking, behaving, because they train us like that. I've been to private school myself. I know what it is. When you are surrounded with people that are in the same environment, we do think alike. But when someone doesn't understand what it is, here comes the judge. People becoming judgmental. Oh, you're trying to be more fancy than us. Why are you trying to elevate yourself? And then now they're going to try to get to, you know, you could be someone that understand the differences, but you cannot become a victim because your parent chose to send you to private school. You understand where I'm trying to go? So the dynamic of the pressure of being to a private school, I totally understand. Because they know how us in the morning, we could be grumpy or whatever. So when you starting doing the BIP test, then you have to go with the flow, right? So now your brain stimulates right away to be functional for the rest of the day. So I understand the pressure that you have. That's why you're really, I don't want to say you're hard on yourself. It's not being hard on yourself. But you're showing how to be efficient. It's important. It's into your DNA. You've been taught so, you've been raised so, and they told you how to become that way. So how can you fail? Do you think your teacher looking at you at the TV, they're not happy? Imagine your own parents. Damn, my daughter's on TV. But it's not only that. You work for it. You believe in yourself and you had a plan, so you focused. So being focused means you could succeed. So that's where we're coming back to self-awareness, self-esteem, self-love. I really like the fact that you're doing that initiative because coming from you as a nurse, it's not just health, but it's also the dimension behind it. And on top of it, you're giving your opinion that brings a lot of consciousness. Then now, you know, that's the best. That's what we need. That's what we need, to be honest. We don't have, there's a lot of podcasters. Let's keep it real simple. But do we have enough of quality content that you can listen to it and it makes you think and it does have an effect for you to grow? We need that.
So, Candice, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for you.
Thank you for your time. And I hope we can do so much, much more work on our community together. I really liked our interview. And have a great day.
You too, ma'am.
And there's something I want to add before we end. I've been reading in an article that they've been saying that, and I think it's true. They're saying that across Canada, that we are overrepresenting Black communities with certain medical conditions. What happened is whenever we are sick, the first thing the medical provider is going to think, oh, maybe they have hypertension. Maybe it hasn't been diagnosed yet. That's why their blood pressure is high.
I am really hoping we can have our own clinic one day, our own hospitals, our own schools, so we can actually take care of our own community.
What? My radio stuck on CKUT. I don't know. But nah, fix it. CKUT, the number one radio station in Montreal. We give you the sun, the moon, the rain, the stars and the mountain. CKUT give you the word.
This message is intended for all Quebecers. We must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19, because our health is important. For more information, visit quebec.ca/confinement. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
The alert level in your region or a neighboring region is red. To curb the spread of COVID-19, gatherings with family and friends are prohibited, and travel between regions should be avoided. In red zones, it's also forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. Visit quebec.ca/coronavirus to learn more about the specific measures addressing the situation. Follow all the rules, all the time, no exceptions. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.